Welcome back. It is great to have you sitting at the table with us again for another deep dive. Today, we've got a custom-tailored stack of sources gathered just for you.
We really do.
Yeah, and we are unpacking the March 2026 issue of Arlington Today magazine. Our mission for this deep dive is to explore the heartbeat of a modern, booming Texas community. We're looking closely at how a city actively balances massive economic growth and, cutting-edge medical technology with deeply rooted local traditions, personal family legacies, and some incredibly localized organic community festivals.
It is a compelling stack of reading, and by the end of our conversation today, you are going to walk away understanding not just what is happening on the ground in Arlington, but the underlying mechanics of it.
Right.
We're going to explore why this specific mix of hyper-local community focus and massive big-budget infrastructure matters on a macro level, and, well, how it basically serves as a blueprint for how modern American cities are trying to evolve.
So let's jump right into the sheer scale of Arlington's economic engine. Because the numbers in the community report from the Arlington Convention and Visitors Bureau, the ACVB, they really paint a picture of a city moving at terminal velocity.
They're staggering numbers.
I mean, last year alone, roughly 16.3 million people visited Arlington.
Wow.
And while they were in town, they spent $3.1 billion.
Yeah, that's just...
To put that in perspective, that is the kind of tourism footprint you usually expect from a massive coastal hub or a historic global capital, not necessarily a municipality tucked right between Dallas and Fort Worth.
Exactly. And what's fascinating here is how the ACVB's funding model actually works to generate and sustain that kind of massive revenue without placing the burden of the marketing on the everyday resident.
Which is what everyone assumes, right?
Right. When you see a multi-billion dollar tourism industry, the immediate assumption is that the city is pouring local tax dollars into a massive advertising machine. But the ACVB takes zero money from the city's general fund. Zero. Instead, it is funded entirely by hotel occupancy taxes and revenue from the Arlington Tourism Public Improvement District, known as the ATPID.
Let's drill down into that ATPID structure for a second, because that is a really clever mechanism. It essentially means the district consists of the 50-plus hotels in Arlington that have 75 or more guest rooms, right?
That's the threshold.
They are basically self-assessing to fund the very engine that fills their rooms.
Exactly. The visitors coming into the city are the ones funding the marketing engine that brings in the next wave of visitors. It is a highly efficient closed-loop system. And that $3.1 billion in visitor spending generates tens of millions in localized tax dollars that directly benefit the residents.
Yeah, and it supports roughly 14,000 jobs in the city's tourism and hospitality industry.
It does. But the source material highlights that this goes much deeper than just top-line economics. The ACVB also operates a charitable arm, the Travel and Sports Legacy Foundation, or TSLF.
Right, and they're using this incredible tourism momentum to build a pipeline for the local workforce. The TSLF provides targeted job training, scholarships, and internships for underserved youth and adults who want to build careers in travel, tourism, and sports management.
Which is vital.
It really is. It's one thing to have 14,000 jobs in a sector, but it's another to actively build the ladders so the local community can actually access those careers.
That is the hallmark of a self-sustaining ecosystem. But as you know, when you have an economic and tourism engine running that hot, your civic infrastructure has to keep up with the pace. You cannot host 16 million visitors and manage explosive residential growth on outdated foundational systems.
Which brings us to a major structural event on the horizon for the residents. That's the Arlington Independent School District Bond 2026. For those tracking the local calendar, Election Day is Saturday, May 2nd, with early voting running from April 20th to the 28th.
A very important window.
Definitely. Now, looking at the upcoming Arlington ISD bond, we need to be clear. We're remaining strictly impartial here, just reporting the facts of the ballot to you. The ballot language legally mandates a clear disclosure to voters, and the materials state plainly, this is a property tax increase.
That's the legally required phrasing.
Right. And the district has broken down exactly where those proposed funds would go across three distinct propositions, following a comprehensive third-party review of their facilities.
That third-party review is key because it maps out the specific stress points in a growing district. So Proposition A is the largest piece of the pie, coming in at $438.7 million.
That's a massive proposition.
It is. The sheer scale of it covers the replacement of two elementary campuses, including South Davis Elementary, alongside major modernizations and the procurement of 45 new school buses. But two specific line items really stand out as indicators of modern civic needs. First, the funding for a district-wide 18 PLSS special education facility.
And for anyone unfamiliar with that program.
An 18 PLS program is a post-secondary transition program. It's designed for young adults receiving special education services who have completed their high school credits, but they need a structured bridge to gain independent living skills and employment training. Building a dedicated district-wide facility for this demographic is a massive commitment to comprehensive community care.
It really is. And the second major line item in Proposition A is a significant cybersecurity modernization effort, which, frankly, is non-negotiable for school districts today, given the sensitive data they hold and the increasing frequency of municipal ransomware attacks.
It's an absolute necessity. Moving down the ballot, there is Proposition B, which allocates $30.9 million dedicated entirely to technology. That means instructional devices for the students, back-end infrastructure, and staff tech.
And finally, Proposition C sits at $31.5 million focused on athletic turf and facilities. That includes installing synthetic turf at 6 different high school baseball and softball fields. So what does this all mean? When you step back from the multi-million-dollar figures and look at the bottom line for the average citizen, the proposed bond projects translate to an estimated 1 cent tax rate increase.
Right.
The materials break this down practically for you. For an average home valued at $296,704, the impact is about $1.50 a month, or roughly $18 a year.
It is also worth noting the structural protections built into the Texas tax code for older residents regarding these bonds. While the ballot must state this is a property tax increase, homeowners age 65 and older who have a residence homestead exemption on file will see their Arlington ISD taxes frozen.
That's a crucial detail.
It is. Approval of this bond will not increase their school district taxes above that frozen ceiling, provided they aren't making substantial physical additions to their homes.
That focus on long-term legacy and planning doesn't just apply to wealth and municipal school bonds, though. The magazine brings up the Ross Wealth Group and their financial flight plan, which perfectly mirrors how a city has to think.
Yeah, that was an interesting piece.
They break navigating uncertainty into 5 pillars: investing, income, taxes, health, and legacy. You can't just focus on the money. You have to look at the health and the legacy you leave behind. And that philosophy is exactly what is driving the city's health sector right now, optimizing for a high quality of life decades into the future.
The medical infrastructure required to support a growing population is immense, and the magazine features a fascinating look at how specialized care is evolving locally. Dr. Justin Lee, a urologic surgeon at Urology Partners of North Texas, details the reality of the modern robotic prostatectomy. Yeah. When you are dealing with localized prostate cancer, the medical goal has shifted. It is no longer just about bare survival. It is about completely eradicating the cancer while returning the patient to the active life they value with their dignity intact.
Here's where it gets really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Lee works out of USMD Hospital at Arlington, and they're utilizing the Da Vinci surgical system. This isn't just a minor upgrade to traditional surgery. I found the sheer mechanics of it fascinating.
It is a marvel of modern biomedical engineering. The surgeon isn't standing over the patient with traditional tools. They operate from a console using high-definition 3D magnification, manipulating wristed instruments that offer a range of motion far exceeding the human hand.
It's basically science fiction.
It really is. They are working with absolute precision in spaces measured in millimeters. You have to visualize the anatomy. The prostate sits incredibly deep in the pelvis, which is a tight, restrictive space. And it is intimately surrounded by the delicate nerves responsible for erections and the sphincter muscles that control urinary continence.
Which means the stakes are incredibly high.
Exactly. A slip of a millimeter makes a permanent difference in a man's life.
Dr. Lee uses a highly effective analogy in his article to explain this to patients. He describes the nerves wrapping around the prostate as being like a delicate, microscopic spider web. To save that web while ensuring they completely remove the cancerous tissue, he says the robotic process is like gently peeling layers off an onion.
What a great way to put it.
It requires immense practice skill to separate the prostate while leaving that vital nerve network perfectly undisturbed.
And that level of skill requires institutional repetition. The team at Urology Partners has been performing robotic surgery since 2002. They have completed more than 20,000 robotic procedures at USMD Hospital.
That's a lot of practice.
But perhaps the most profound quality of life advancement Dr. Lee details isn't the robot itself, it's the post-operative protocol he calls the catheterless experience.
Yes, the difference in the recovery process is night and day. A traditional prostatectomy recovery usually involves a Foley catheter running directly through the urethra for days or weeks. From a purely functional standpoint, it is restrictive, and from a patient standpoint, it is incredibly uncomfortable and demoralizing.
It absolutely is. It strips a patient of their mobility during a very vulnerable recovery period. To circumvent this, the surgical team frequently utilizes a suprapubic tube instead.
And how does that work anatomically?
Anatomically, instead of utilizing the urethra, this is a small drainage tube placed through a tiny temporary incision in the lower abdomen directly into the bladder. Functionally, it drastically improves early comfort and allows the medical team to easily test natural bladder function before removing the tube entirely.
That makes so much sense.
Because of this refined process, most patients are up and walking the same day as the robotic surgery and are discharged home within 24 hours. And the long-term continence recovery statistics are remarkable. Fewer than 10% of men require continence pads 12 to 18 months post-surgery. It is a massive leap forward in preserving a man's fundamental quality of life.
Okay, let's unpack this. We've talked about the billions in tourism dollars, the massive school bonds, and the cutting-edge robotic medical tech. But all of that is just infrastructure. What actually animates a city is the people. And this issue of Arlington Today dedicates a very substantial 13-page tribute to women in business.
It's a fantastic feature.
It goes way beyond just a directory. It is a deep dive into the cultural and entrepreneurial fabric of the area.
It is a significant portion of the editorial real estate, and rightly so. They highlight a multitude of women-owned businesses that are actively building the local economy. For instance, in the town of Pantego, they shine a spotlight on Erin Bergen. She recently reached a major entrepreneurial milestone by purchasing her own commercial building to house her real estate brokerage, Collective Living Co.
That stood out to me as well. Instead of just noting that she expanded her business, let's look at what that represents. Women in this community aren't just participating in the local economy. They are anchoring it with permanent brick-and-mortar investment.
Exactly.
It changes the landscape of a town when local entrepreneurs own the actual commercial infrastructure. The feature also shouts out Larissa Peterson of The Runner, Bobby Joe Majors of Studio 013 Photography, and Cindy Newton of CP Fitness, showing a really diverse cross-section of retail, arts, and health.
And the broader business community is formally recognizing this impact, with the Greater Arlington Chamber of Commerce announcing their Women's Alliance Award winners.
Right.
Yes, Suzanne Taylor of Graham Associates was honored with the Hero Award, and Becky Jarrow from the River Legacy Nature Center secured the Rising Star Award. These are the leaders shaping the daily lived reality of the city.
And speaking of shaping reality and personal legacy, the publisher's letter, written by Judy Ruppe, shares two very distinct character-driven stories that really resonated. The first is this highly secretive, nostalgic family project.
The Buick story.
Yes. Woody and Marcia Davis were approaching their 50th golden anniversary. Without them knowing, their son-in-law spent an enormous amount of time and effort secretly tracking down and restoring Woody's ultimate dream car, a rare two-tone 1956 Buick Roadmaster convertible.
That is dedication.
Just imagine the emotional weight of reaching a half century of marriage and your family presents you with the fully restored dream car of your youth. It is such a grounded human moment.
It is a beautiful illustration of how personal history is valued. And the second story in that letter shifts gears to a more historical profile of Edward Rickenbacker. He started his life as a grease-covered mechanic and a race car daredevil in Columbus, Ohio, long before he became the legendary ace of aces flying fighter planes in World War I.
Such a wild trajectory.
The core of that story is that his lifelong passion for speed and engineering began with a single, unforgettable ride in an early automobile when he was just a teenager. It shows how singular moments forge lifelong trajectories.
Absolutely.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, a city's identity isn't just built by its current technological leaps or its future municipal bonds. It is forged by honoring its history and the personal legacies of the people who walk its streets. We see this macro-level respect for history with Arlington currently celebrating its 150th sesquicentennial.
That's right.
They aren't just throwing a party. They are kicking off those celebrations with a deliberate tree-planting initiative. It is a literal putting down of roots to honor a century and a half of growth, ensuring there is a canopy for the next generation.
But even with all that deep, reflective history and serious economic planning, a city has to know how to blow off some steam. And the spring entertainment calendar mapped out in this magazine is absolutely packed. First off, for the sports fans, John Rattigan's column touches on the ultimate Texas offseason tradition: analyzing the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, of course.
He warns fans about getting too caught up in the endless salary cap space drama, even with Jerry Jones promising the media that he's willing to bust the budget.
Hope certainly springs eternal for football fans in that region, but for actual guaranteed springtime thrills, the sheer variety of entertainment options coming to the city is staggering. On March 15th, the streets of the entertainment district are going to be completely transformed into a high-speed racing circuit for the Java House Grand Prix of Arlington, bringing the global spectacle of IndyCar racing right into the city center.
Right through the street.
Right through the streets. And the Arlington Museum of Art is running a brilliant companion exhibition called Chasing Victory to celebrate the sport. It is a fascinating intersection of fine art and high-performance engineering.
And if you want to experience those high-performance G-forces yourself, Six Flags Over Texas is debuting an absolute game-changer in late May or early June. They're launching the Tormenta Rampaging Run.
That thing looks terrifying.
It really does. For anyone not entirely up to date on their theme park engineering lingo, this is a giga dive coaster. That means it is designed to drop riders from a height of over 200 feet at a completely vertical 90-degree angle. It is set to shatter 6 different world records, becoming the world's tallest, fastest, longest, and first and only coaster of its specific kind.
It is an incredible feat of structural engineering designed purely for adrenaline. But what makes this community profile so interesting to read is the contrast. You have these massive global-scale events like an IndyCar Grand Prix and world-record giga coasters sitting right alongside highly localized, charmingly organic community events.
Quirky is probably the best word for it. Take St. Patty's Pickle Parade in Palooza over in neighboring Mansfield. You have residents organizing as the Pickle Queens, the Pickle Protectors, and the Pickle Posse parading through the downtown streets.
You absolutely cannot manufacture that kind of weird, wonderful, organic community joy in a corporate boardroom. It has to bubble up from the residents.
You also have the first Thursday's event in downtown Arlington, where the local art scene takes the lead, and the 12th annual South Street Art Festival, which holds the title of the longest-running fine art festival in their cultural arts district.
And for those looking for a completely different tempo, the Arlington Music Hall has curated a deeply eclectic schedule. They are hosting tribute acts honoring Elvis Presley and Johnny Cash, classic rock anthems from John Waite, country rock from Pure Prairie League, and even world-renowned Gregorian chants. Meanwhile, the Sanford House is offering Neighborhood Nights, featuring an elegant, curated three-course seasonal dinner for $49 a person, as well as a shaken, not stirred James Bond tribute night in their courtyard. The breadth of programming is designed to hit every demographic.
So I have to ask you, looking through all these events and initiatives, what stands out to you? Because for me, looking at how to engage the next generation, the University of Texas at Arlington summer camps are the perfect example of utilizing city resources.
Oh, the summer camps are brilliant.
We've talked about the massive school bonds and the push for tech, and you see that reflected in these camps designed for kids in grades 1 through 12.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't just doing traditional arts and crafts. They have become a YouTuber camp where kids learn the digital skills to customize their channel and find their niche. They have an astronaut training camp where they actually build and test rockets.
That's incredible.
They have a DIY beauty lab where young enthusiasts learn the real science and chemistry behind self-care products. And my personal favorite, Dungeons & Dragons Adventures on the Astral Sea, where kids learn collaborative storytelling, math, and gameplay.
This raises an important question. How does a community successfully manage this specific kind of rapid, multifaceted evolution? We are looking at a city that is implementing district-wide cybersecurity protocols, building $438 million school infrastructures, and hosting medical facilities where surgeons use high-definition wristed robots to perform incredibly delicate cancer surgeries.
It's a lot of change.
Yet at the exact same time, they are prioritizing the planting of trees for a 150th anniversary, restoring 1956 Buicks to honor family milestones, and gleefully dressing up as pickle queens for a local parade. It requires a very deliberate, conscious balance from both the civic leaders and the residents to maintain the intimate charm and warmth of a hometown while actively building a hyper-modern metropolis.
Exactly. You can't just have the massive infrastructure without the human heartbeat, or the city feels sterile. And that is the true value of digging into a stack of localized sources like this for you. Whether you are a resident trying to parse the math on municipal bonds for an upcoming election, someone looking into the latest robotic medical innovations to help a family member navigate a diagnosis, or just a parent trying to find a summer camp that perfectly combines Lego robotics and creativity, staying informed is how you navigate it all. A well-informed citizen is a deeply empowered one.
Very well said.
And that leads us to a final thought for you to mull over today as you go about your week. As we mentioned, Arlington is currently celebrating its 150th anniversary. If you look back, this city traces its roots all the way back to a dusty 1876 train stop. It went from a quiet agricultural stop to hosting 16.3 million annual visitors in a relatively short span of human history.
It is a phenomenal trajectory.
Arlington's current boom relies heavily on massive physical infrastructure. Highways for those 16 million tourists, giant stadiums, sprawling amusement park coasters. But as virtual reality, augmented reality, and deeply immersive remote digital experiences become the norm over the next century, what happens to cities whose massive economic engines were built primarily on people physically traveling to be there?
That's a great point.
In 150 years, will physical tourism become a quaint relic of the past? Or will traveling to physically stand in a stadium or ride a roller coaster become the ultimate, highly sought-after premium luxury in a mostly digital world?
It is definitely something fascinating to consider about the future of all our cities.
It really is. Thank you so much for joining us at the table for this deep dive. We hope you found some real insights and aha moments in the mix today, and we encourage you to keep your curiosity alive until the next stack of sources arrives. See you next time.